How's everybody tonight as we get ready to get going? Still getting used to our new order of having our class first. But hopefully we'll be in good order. So if you're on your way to Bible class, we'll go ahead and dismiss. That would be awesome. All right. Let me get my Bible tuned. And let's see, I need this one, James 1. And there we go. All right, so how's everybody doing this week? I know there's going to be a few probably coming in, straggling in here at the last, but that's all right. We're going to go ahead and get started on our class tonight. We're continuing our summer-long series, our summer-long simmering, if you will, with our Life Stew class. And we've been adding ingredients every week with the idea being when we're done, we're going to have something that's going to taste pretty good, and your life should also reflect that and be just taste good to everybody that you come in contact with. And that's what we want to do. So here's some of the things that just a review that we've covered already, these ingredients. We've talked about goal setting, which, of course, is really the mechanism by which we use to turn poorer habits into better habits. So it isn't, again, to set a goal and that's the end of it, but it's to say, I am going to change my behavior, I'm going to change my attitude, and I'm going to make myself a better person by using these steps along the way. So goal setting is useful in that process by which we form those better habits. We talked about action, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, doing the things that the spirit inside you says you should do and you know you should do. And we talked about how your brain will take 5 seconds to talk you out of taking that action. So you have 5 seconds to physically move your body toward that action, to start moving. Otherwise, your brain will always talk you out of it. And then you'll have to psych yourself back up again. So maybe over the course of these last few months, you guys, the weeks, you've had an opportunity to use the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, and just do it. Those things the Spirit says you should do, just do it and do them. We talked about gratitude. This is the most natural mood elevator that there is. We're not talking about taking any kind of a drug whatsoever. But sitting down maybe first thing in the morning or just before bed and writing down the 5 things that you're most thankful for today. This is a powerful, I can't emphasize enough how powerful a tool this is to changing your outlook, to making your day go better from the beginning to the end. Somebody was telling me this last week that your day from morning until night is just about like an encapsulation of your life. If you think about it, when you're born as a child, your first formative years influence the rest of your life in very profound ways. In the same way, the first few minutes, the first hour or so of your day will frame your day in a profound way the rest of the time. So if you start your day with gratitude, it will have a profound effect on the remainder of your day. This is an powerful ingredient, man. If you take this off of your spice rack and put it into your stew, it's going to taste pretty good the entire day. Gratitude. We talked about energy, and this is a very, it's right there in the Bible, right in front of us. When God says that we are a new creature, when Jesus talks about that, when Paul talks about being born again, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, when Paul talks about being a new creation, it isn't new in terms of time, like new versus old, in terms of the clock. The word literally means a new energy, a new creation, somebody that didn't exist before, and it's new. And that's God's spiritual energy, and that never ends. It's everlasting, and it's a spiritual energy. And when we understand that, that unlike physical energy, which can never be created or destroyed, it's always the same. Spiritual energy, which as Christians we have, is a very special gift, and we need to really appreciate that. We talked about time. It isn't managing your time, it's managing your priorities and finding the one thing that you want to do that's important to you. Last week, we talked about savory relationships. God created us to be relational people. When he told Adam, it's not good, Jesus and the Spirit, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He created Eve because we are relational people. We need to have relationships. These relationships are more important than money. They're more important than fame. They're more important than 55-inch plasma ultra-high-definition televisions. They're more important than the latest iPhone 8 that's going to be coming out soon. It's more important than anything because relationships are eternal. Relationships will last after. They will last for all time because they're soul-to-soul relationships. And it's so important to us. And how important it is that it's the whole ballgame. Basically, it's everything. As a matter of fact, when the Jewish religious experts tried to pin Jesus down and get him to say something that was a little bit off or backwards, they said, you know, what's the most important law? And he said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and with all your heart, soul, and mind. And this, the second commandment is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Those are relationships that we're talking about there. After this, everything descends from this. The whole law hangs on these things. That's how important relationships are. You've all heard of the golden rule, which is in Matthew 7:12, I believe. Yeah. And you can say it by heart, you know, but it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you, basically. And if you want to say it another way, think of it like this with your relationship, is that we teach other people how to treat us. We teach other people how to treat us. So if you're not happy with how you're being treated, change the way you're teaching. It's another way of saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We don't live out our lives. Our self-worth is not tied up on what other people say it is. It's tied up in one thing. Jesus is the true authority of your self-worth because he thought enough of you to die for you. And when you allow that to really sink into your brain, that is such a profound thought. We don't often appreciate it enough. He thought enough of you that he said, I'm going to die for you, Chris. I'm going to die for you, Cecil. I'm going to die for you, Odell. That's where the authority of our self-worth comes from. And then Jesus is the only one that has the say. My neighbor doesn't. Nobody else can tell me what I'm worth. Only Jesus. And that's an important part of understanding our relationship to God. And then when we see ourselves like that, we see value that Jesus has given us. We value other people, and then that's reflected back to us. So this last week, we asked you to write down 5 to 10 things about somebody whom you appreciate, maybe a relationship that you're trying to improve, and then focus on those things this week. So I'll ask, did anybody think of one or two things that they might have appreciated about somebody that maybe they didn't think of? I see a couple of people shaking their heads, yes. And I would ask if anybody wanted to share those things, that you're certainly will, you know, I'm willing to have you share those if you'd like. Okay, it's probably kind of private, I get it, if you're trying to improve a relationship. But this is a good activity. It's a good thing to try to do as often as you can. Think about something that you appreciate about somebody who you probably don't like or you wish that you had a better relationship with. Think of those things and focus on those things in the relationship, and the relationship will get better. All right, that's part of what Paul exhorts us to do. As far as it is possible for you, get along with everybody. And that's one of those things that's possible for you to do, is to think about the things about that other person that you want to focus on, those good things about the relationship that makes it you appreciate it. All right? Well, we're going to move on from relationships this week to something that was near and dear to me. The next ingredient is listening. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Listening is an important thing. I'm reminded of Ole and Sven. And I thought maybe if Dave was here, Dave Nelson would probably appreciate this. Anybody else from Minnesota, or if you were from Iowa, you'd appreciate an Ole Miss spin. I suppose South Dakota too. North Dakota for sure. Ole and Sven went hunting out in the woods. When Sven falls to the ground suddenly, he didn't seem to be breathing and his eyes were rolled back in his head. And Ole starts to panic. He whips out his cell phone and he calls 911. And he frantically blurts out to the operator, "Hey there, yeah, my friend Sven, I think he's dead. What can I do?" And the operator, trying to calm him down, says, "Take it easy. I can help. Just listen to me and follow my instructions. First, let's make sure he's dead." There's a short pause. Then the operator hears a loud bang. Ole comes back on the line and says, "Okay, now what?" All right. Sometimes it's easy to hear without listening to the real message, right? So sometimes what we think we heard is not really what was meant. And we have to practice something called active listening that we're going to talk about tonight. And as we'll cover, there's a reason why God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we can become better and more skilled listeners. And that's what this week is all about. Tell me if you get this. "I know you believe that you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you think you heard is not what I said." You got to think that one through a few times, right? Sometimes it can be so confusing when we're not focused on listening and understanding what we should do. As a society today, we're losing our ability to listen. There was a sociology professor, Julian Treasure, that did a lot of study about this. And he says, as a society, we are losing today. We are losing the ability to listen. When I was in journalism school way back at ACU years and years ago, one of the first things our professors taught us about was listening. And they talked to us about how godly it was to listen. And as an interviewer, when you're sitting down to interview people, you have to be present and you have to focus and you have to listen. But as a society today, it is so easy for us to lose the ability to listen. We spend 65% of our time listening, but we only remember about 25% of the things that we listen to. And too often today, we're just talking past each other. You know, we're making our point while they're making their point. All you got to do is watch the news for 30 minutes on any given day. And they'll bring on a panel of people. And nobody is respectful of the other. They're talking over each other. They're talking past each other. The moderator asks a question and they don't even come close to answering it. And it goes back and forth. And nobody is listening. Our world today is noisier than it's ever been. We are just bombarded with messages from all places, all day long. You know, somebody did a study that said over 10,000 messages can come into our brain in any given day, which is, you know, just an astounding fact if you're tuned into it. And it's not a pretty sight. So with all of this, sometimes we revert to putting on our earbuds and just listening to whatever is on our phone. Or this scene happens where you've seen this in restaurants before, where you have people gathered together, but they're all in their own little bubbles. Okay? Nobody's talking, but nobody's listening either. They're just all on their cell phones and all on their devices, and no one's listening. And it's impatience a lot of time that leads to the loss of our ability to listen. We become very, very impatient with things. And a lot of times we'll flee to social media to broadcast how we feel about things. And we're losing the art of conversation. Have you ever texted and broke up with your girlfriend over a text, right? Is this communicating? I mean, is this really how, as a society, we should do this kind of thing? I don't know. There's so much noise. Everything is competing for our attention by trying to one-up everything else, from broadcasting to social media to websites. Everywhere you look, that it's no wonder that we have lost our ability to listen. Because we have it's so easy for us to personally broadcast ourselves on social media today that we create this desire to talk first, to be heard, but not to be understood. We don't really even think about that side of it. So the one thing is that we become desensitized to good communications, and we lose the ability to hear the quiet. I imagine myself in this little kayak out there, and it would be a great place to be a lot of times during the day. And you can appreciate if you just would close your eyes and you just listen to the sounds around you. It wouldn't necessarily be silent, but there would be a different kind of a music, a different kind of a sound. And we've lost the ability to appreciate the quietness, to appreciate the subtleties of the messages that are all around us. And this is a huge, huge problem for us, not only in the world, but in the church today. It's a huge, huge problem. In the business world, you know, the business coaches will tell you that this is an issue. Huge, huge problem between clients and corporations. But in the church, it's a big problem between brothers and sisters too. And that's kind of where the whole purpose of this series lies, in putting those biblical principles behind these ingredients that we need to add back into our lives. See, active listening creates understanding. This is an important concept to remember. Listening creates understanding. So without listening, there's no basis, there's no foundation for a good, strong, lasting relationships. And as we learned last week when we talked about the ingredient of savory relationships, we learned that relationships are everything, and without listening, there can be no lasting relationship. Think about that. Without listening, you cannot have a lasting relationship. So that's why this is such a big problem. It's huge. It's huge. We would be completely lost. So let's look at a few things. Every good conversation starts with good listening. Have you ever thought about this? Every good conversation starts with good listening. In every conversation, you need a listener, but you also, of course, have to have somebody who is speaking. But if you choose to be the active listener, you will then immediately elevate that conversation to a higher level. You will immediately do that. And that will ensure that the conversation is a good one. Because what you're doing is you're assigning value to that conversation that otherwise would have been lost. And whenever you assign value, you're lifting it up. This is what Jesus did. This is what he means when he says, "If I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me." You're adding value. You're lifting them up. Every good conversation starts with good listening. One of the other things about that, I got this from Julian Treasure, who said that scientifically speaking, this is what the sociologists will tell you, listening is making meaning from sound. So there's a lot of ways that we do this. Okay, one of the ways is called extraction. So if you have a room full of crying babies, I guarantee you that if you had three mothers and three crying babies, that mother would know exactly the sound that her baby makes. If that baby's crying, they will know. It's just one of those things that we have the ability to extract. If you're at a party in a noisy room full of people and lots of conversations are going on, and you hear your name throughout all of that noise, you'll extract that right out of there. God has given your ears the ability to do that. It's an amazing thing. I was doing an interview a couple of days ago, earlier this week, and we were down in the basement at Camp Native, and all of a sudden I heard a car alarm going off just up on the street, and we were down in the basement, and I said, "That sounds like my car alarm." I don't know why I knew that, and I went up, and sure enough, it was mine. I hit the alarm button. I don't know. I just was able to extract that throughout all the noise clear down in the basement office where we were. But extraction is one of those things that we have. Another thing is the differences. My brother-in-law is the poster child for this. He almost refuses to sleep without a fan blowing in his room. And it creates something that we call white noise. And you've all heard that term before. But it's also called differentiation in a scientific language. So our ears, our auditory senses have the ability to be soothed by certain sounds. And we actually tune them out to where we don't even hear them anymore. But what happens on a subconscious level, folks, is that this occupies a part of our brain that would have otherwise been listening for threats. And it occupies that part of our brain and comforts us and gives us a little bit of peace. I use an app every day on my desk called Focus at Will, and it is music that is specifically made to occupy that part of your brain. And I know Kathy listens to music while she paints. And what that does is that it satisfies that part of your brain that is listening for threats and dangers, and it keeps it occupied to where the rest of your brain can relax and focus on what you're doing. Isn't that a funny thing? God made us that way. And so we can kind of life hack our way into creating better focus with these background noises, the things that we have. But our ears have the ability to tune that out. Another thing about our hearing that's interesting is that we listen with these conscious or unconscious filters. Things like our cultural differences, difference in language. We pick that up right away. If somebody's speaking Spanish, sometimes we can understand that, or French or Russian or whatever it is. Values. We listen to conversations and all of a sudden we hear somebody that has the same value that we do. We tune into that conversation. It's like having a bunch of radio stations going and all of a sudden we can tune into that one because we have the same values. Or beliefs and attitudes are one of those. Expectations, another thing. And then intentions is a huge one. When I first got married to Kathy, my intention was I was going to listen to her every word as if it was the first time I ever heard her speak. And so now, what is it, 36 years later? 35 years later. Whoops. It's like, okay, my heart is still in the right place, but my intention might be... Okay, so that's my that's on me, right? So we listen with these filters, okay? So sometimes we tune people out. My mom used to always say my dad had selective hearing, right? His intentions were filtering certain things in and certain things out. And that's kind of how we listen. One of the things about our ears that's interesting is, on another scientific level, is when we are asleep, and they make this argument against evolution all the time. So if we were really always evolving over millions and maybe a billion years, why have we never evolved out of the necessity for sleep? And we're going to talk about this in 2 weeks in one of our next units. But why have we not? Because when we sleep, we are so vulnerable. We can be attacked in a cave. We can be attacked by wild animals. We are vulnerable when we sleep. So if we are supposed to be superior species, we would have evolved out of the need for sleep, but we never have. Animals haven't, human beings haven't, no creatures have evolved out of this, which says that God created you for the need for sleep. But God did not leave you defenseless, which is something that science has discovered, is that when you're asleep, your auditory loop is still active. That's why alarm clocks work. Because your ears are still working all night long. You hear a noise in the middle of the night. Somebody opens up the door, or you hear a pounding on the wall. It'll wake you up because your ears are always working. So we're not completely defenseless. But that's an interesting thing about our ability to listen. At night, our listening is almost more intentional than it is during the day when we're awake. But it's there to protect us. One thing about listening is that when we have poor listening habits, we're diminishing the other person. While if we have good listening habits, we are inviting the other person in that conversation. We're inviting them to exist. We're inviting them to matter. We're giving value to them when we're actively listening to others. So we're elevating that conversation. So that's a very, very important thing. And it's why God, again, gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Because listening is such a powerful, powerful thing to do. Let's look at a few Bible verses as we move through this. This is probably one of the more well-known ones on listening. James 1:19. In the ESV, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak," and literally, in the Greek, even slower to anger. Okay? Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." Listen, listen, listen. Quick to hear. Proverbs 18:13, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." Have you ever heard of sticking your foot in your mouth? Right? This is what Proverbs is saying. Matthew 11:15, "He who has ears to hear, let him speak." Sorry, that's so small, it's hard to read. The bottom one is Proverbs 19:27, "Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Just a couple of more. Mark 9:7. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This was at the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. God says, listen to him. Okay, listen. God is commanding us. Luke 11:28. Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Hearing leads to obeying. Another very, very, very important concept. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. God is a listening God. I love that fact. I love that fact that God is a listening God. When you talk, he says, you are the most important person in my universe right now. And he listens. That's a huge thing. That is so cool. And Romans 10:17 is a very important principle. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The first step toward faith is to listen. That's the first step. First step toward faith is to listen. That's how important listening is. Because through the listening comes our faith, comes our relationships, comes everything else, if we know how to listen. Just going to break here for a minute and see if anybody has any thoughts. So I'll try to do my own part in listening. Okay? If not, then we'll just continue on. So we'll look at a few things here tonight. We know that God wants us to be listeners first. He has said so in his word. So I'm going to look at a few things about good listening. First thing is that good listening requires patience. All right? I really like, you know, Richard Foster. Have you ever read The Celebration of Discipline? It's a great book. I recommend it highly. I think we've been through it here about 12 years ago. We went through this book. But he gives us something to avoid in there. He talks about listening with half an ear. That presumes to already know what the other person has to say, and therefore you're wasting my time, and I want this conversation to end, and I want to get out of here. That's an impatient, inattentive listening attitude, right? And I'm guilty of that. And maybe you are too. I don't know. And the product of that attitude is that we're just waiting for an opportunity to speak. So we hear the other person, we see their lips moving, we watch them, and they do this. And I'm just thinking, okay, I want this conversation to end. I want this to be over with, and I'm just waiting for an opportunity to speak. Okay? Guilty? Okay? My wife is like, yes, you are. I know. Patience is the big one. This is why this one hurt me so much. We're in the middle of something and someone started talking to us. This just happened to me today, so I'm guilty again. Or we've got some other commitment that's coming up, that's approaching, and we need to get this conversation over with. We wish that you were done already. Or maybe we're just listening with half an ear because our attention is divided by external surroundings or something around us that's distracting us, and we're having trouble focusing. I read about this, and Jan Dunn wrote a book. She said, unfortunately, many of us are too preoccupied with ourselves when we listen. Instead of concentrating on what's being said, we're busy either deciding what to say in response, or we're just mentally rejecting the other person's point of view. And we're just kind of glossing over. Okay? People, the person who's speaking can see that. Most of the time, they can read that. They can see that in your eyes. Remember when we talked about energy, the eyes being the window to the soul? It's a dead giveaway. It can be. Good listening does require concentration, which requires using both of our ears, which a lot of times requires patience. Patience, patience. I like this thought, too, I read by Bonhoeffer. We need to hear the whole train of thought all the way to the caboose before we start across the tracks. And that's an important allegory. Good listener, you know, patience means silencing the cell phone or letting the cell phone pick up, not having to answer it, not being interrupted by texting. And it does. It takes energy to block that out. But I want you to think about this. If you were in your car and you're listening to two radio stations at the same time, are you getting anything out of that? Mm-mm. No. It's just a bunch of cacophony. It's a noise. And so I got to tune to one or the other. One or the other. And so when you're in a conversation with somebody and there's like all this competition for your attention and your focus, you need to really make that effort to be patient enough to focus on that conversation. It's so, so important. Secondly, good listening is an act of love. I don't know if you've ever thought of it like this, but it is. If you're only listening with half an ear, Foster writes this, you're despising the brother and is only waiting for a chance to speak. Thus, you're just saying, basically, I want to get rid of you. So poor listening rejects people. Good listening embraces people. So we kind of want to remember that. Here's another quote from Bonhoeffer, which I think is one of the key things tonight that I could leave you with. There's probably three or four of these. But just as love of God begins with listening to His Word, and we just read that in the Bible, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. Have you ever thought about that? Just as learning to love God begins with listening to His Word, the beginning of love for the brethren is not talking our way into a relationship, but it's listening to our brothers and sisters, listening to them. This is like Philippians 2:5 basically says that good listening goes hand in hand with the mindset of Christ. Philippians 2:3 even. This is the attitude that flows from a humble heart. This is what a humble heart looks like, that counts others more significant than ourselves. Very, very important concepts. Philippians 2:4, we're told that we're not to look only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. That means listening to them and not trying to overtalk them or talk past them. 1 Corinthians 13:4, we know about love is patient and kind. Patience and listening is so important, as we just talked about. Moving on, good listening asks perceptive questions. We're going to talk about this more in just a second. This is all over Proverbs. If you've ever studied the book of Proverbs, you'll take Proverbs 18:2, the fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That's the attitude of a foolish person. Proverbs 25, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. These are what good questions do. Good listening asks those perceptive, open-ended questions that don't necessarily just tee up a yes-no answer. This was one of the things that Dr. Marler taught us at ACU in journalism school, is that you've got to draw it out like deep water, like it says in Proverbs 25, when you're interviewing people for the newspaper or the television, whatever it is. But do it in a way that's meek, and do it in a way that's humble from your standpoint, that hopefully points the speaker to fresh perspectives. So when you leave their presence, they have been had added value to their life because of godly attributes that you have shown. Here's one too. Good listening is actually a ministry. I've known people, maybe you have too, who are good listeners first. And it's like their ministry. You can always count on brother so-and-so to have a good listening ear. You can just talk to them and you know that you're going to be listened to in a deep way. This is really, really cool. Listening can be a greater service than speaking, than what I'm doing right now. Listening can do a greater service. God wants more of Christians than just good listening, but He doesn't want less. He doesn't want less. So there are going to be days when the best ministry we can do is square our shoulders to some hurting person, uncross our arms, and just listen to what they have to say. There was I saw this study that was done in the San Francisco Chronicle, did an article about this mission in San Francisco that was trying to reach out to troubled youth, particularly teenage prostitutes, girls. And they went throughout the streets and they did a little survey and they asked these teenagers whose lives were broken and bent and torn apart. And they asked them, what is it that you needed most that you didn't get? And an overwhelming number of responses came back with simply this: I wish I would have had someone just to listen to me, who cared enough just to listen. See, listening can be a ministry. It can be a ministry. And if that's what God has gifted you with, go for it. Go with it. Use that ingredient of your life stew to just, you know, man, just push that part of it and just be that. And, you know, sometimes another key point is sometimes all our neighbor needs, what they need most, is just for somebody else to know. Somebody else to know their situation. Somebody else to know their pain. Somebody else to know their struggle. Someone else to know their life situation. All they want to do is they can just look across the street and know that, he knows that too, or she knows that too, and there's a sharing that takes place. That's sometimes all our neighbors need. All our brothers and sisters just need is somebody else to know, and to know we need to listen. Good listening prepares us to speak well. This kind of goes to preventative measures, the hoof and mouth, the foot and mouth disease, because the best, and Bonhoeffer wrote this too, the best ministry that you can do all day is to listen to somebody's pain all the way to the bottom, you know, and then you might know what to say. But even if you don't, just listening, only listening, can be a service. Listening, because when we do that, we're putting godly principles in our life. And when we're listening with godly ears, then God will give us the things to say, what we need to say. We can speak the word of God when we listen with the ears of God. Proverbs 18:13 said, as we said earlier, a fool gives an answer before he hears. It's important to hear first with godly ears, and then God will give us the words that we can speak. And why is this so important? Why is this so important? Because of this very fact. Because you know what? We're God's ambassadors on earth, right? If Jesus didn't have us, he wouldn't have arms and legs and minds, souls, hands to do the work that needs to be done. And one of the things that God wants to do, or that Jesus wants to do for others, is to give grace and mercy. We cannot give the gift of grace and mercy until we've listened first. When God listens to our prayers, he responds with grace and mercy. When we listen to other people, the words that we respond with are words of grace and mercy. We can then bestow those gifts that we've been given, but only after we listen. Only after we listen. That's the important thing. You have to listen first before God gives you the ability to give these gifts. One other thing, too, is good listening reflects our relationship with God. It really, really does. Our inability to listen well to others is kind of symptomatic of maybe a chatty kind of a spirit that we might have that's droning on and on and on, but without the voice of God. And think about this, too. Here's another key. If you consider this, and tell me if you think this is on track or not. If you can no longer be listening to your brother or sister, you will soon no longer be listening to God either. Have you ever thought about that? If you're not willing to listen to your brother and sister, before long you won't be willing to listen to God. Our egos tend to take over. And this is one of the things we're going to talk about in 2 weeks when we talk about well-being and sleep and stress and all those other good things. Bad good things. So this is an important key. Anybody who thinks that his time is so valuable to keeping quiet will eventually have no time for God and his brother, but only for himself and his own follies if he doesn't feel it's important for him enough to keep quiet. So good listening, as we mentioned, is a great means of grace in the dynamic of true Christian fellowship. This is the channel by which God continues to pour his grace into our lives, and then we in turn pour it into other people's lives. So as we wrap up, I'm going to give us two lists. We're going to put the list in listening. I'm going to give you two things to leave you with here as we wrap up tonight. The first is going to be tools to improve your listening skills. All right? This is basically just how to use your ears. A little bit of how to use, just some interesting, fun exercises to do if it hits you and the thought strikes you. And you can put these down in your notebooks if you'd like to. But one thing that would be very, very useful is to find yourself in an attitude of silence at least once a day, if at all possible. And Jeanette is smiling. I don't know how possible it always is, but pray for opportunities to just put yourself in a place where there's no sound and let that sink into your mind for a while. It's kind of like rebooting your computer. It gets rid of all the old garbage and resets things. So then you're able to process better. Try to find silence. Just practice that once in a while and see how you feel. All right? This one I call the mixer, and maybe you've heard this used before, I don't know. But Thomas and I set up a new mixer back there for the sound system. It has 8 channels, right? It can accept 8 inputs and then feed them back out to the speakers. And we've used it in live concerts before where you've got guitars and pianos and vocals and you've got drums and you've got all this kind of stuff going on at a music concert. And it's mixed together into this beautiful thing that comes out on the speakers for the entertainment of the audience, right? Well, the next time you're like in a coffee shop or in a busy place or maybe even after church on a Sunday morning and you're listening to all the conversations going on, see how many different voices you can hear within that conversation. Just practice that skill. Just see if you can isolate the sound of that music or the sound of that drum or the sound of that person talking or the sound of the air conditioner in the background. Just see if you can pick that out. It's a cool little thing to have done this before, just to see how many. Like, I'm sitting on my front or my back deck in the morning, having a cup of coffee, having my quiet time, and I close my eyes and I listen to all the different sounds. And there's more sounds going on than you think in the quiet morning. Everything from the birds to the breeze to the people jogging by on the street, to the cars that are going up and down, to the people that are talking at Edgewood Vista next door, to the guy that's pounding his hammer on the distant house that's building 2 blocks away. There's a lot of little sounds going on that you can pick out, and it's interesting to listen to. Here's another one. My dog is really, 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 really good at this. Savoring, okay? All I got to do, next to his dog dish, her dog dish, I have to pick up the bag that has his begging strips, her begging strips, and it makes that little, smallest little crinkly cellophane sound, right? And that dog is there in a minute. That sound, savor. Boy, ooh, I know that sound. I love that sound because I'm getting the treat. And it's only one crinkle of the cellophane is all it takes, and that dog is there. Savoring sound is something that we can put into practice. For example, a crying child. Okay, can be very aggravating, but if you learn to savor the sound for the music that's there, for the breath that's there, for the variation of the pitch, for the things that are being communicated there. I'm not saying that you have to live with it, you know, or necessarily celebrate it, but just savor it for what it is. Sounds all of a sudden don't become so aggravating after a while. I can listen to the sounds of the dryer going on outside the bedroom door, and I hear music. And I'm writing music to that sound, right? It's kind of distracting, but it's cool, right? Think about savoring sound. That's another listening skill, okay? You might think I'm a little bit off on that, but just do it. It's kind of fun sometimes. Another one. We have 2 more. Listening position. All right, and this is an interesting one. When you're in a conversation with somebody, try this. Go from the perspective of passive to active. Say, this person, I'm not tracking them. I'm not following where they're going with this. Let me see if I can actively follow them. Go from passive part of that conversation to an active part of that conversation. Change your listening position. Here's another one. In a conversation, sometimes we are listening and we're thinking, this person's opinion is just awful. You know, I'm reducing the value of this other person. I'm reducing the words that they're saying to a pile of garbage. Why not remember to switch that and to become expansive with that and try to understand a little bit more of where their perspective is? I may not agree with it, but at least I'm expanding the conversation instead of reducing them as a person. I'm adding value to the conversation. Or try this third one, which is going from critical to empathic, where you can literally be almost angry with a person and then put yourself in their shoes for a minute, totally in their shoes, and say, what is this person telling me that they need to hear from me right now that's going to help? Instead of being critical, put yourself in their shoes and help. Listening position. This can be another one of those skillful ways to just exercise your ears a little bit. And the last one we have is called Rasa. It's like a Syriac term for essence or juice. Really, it's like the juice of a fruit is the essence of the fruit, this Rasa. But it makes this nice little allegory that Professor Treasure gives us. R is listen to understand and not respond, to receive the message. Two is to appreciate. Whoops, when they're talking, just go, Show some appreciation, body language, something. Summarize, use that word. So, what I'm hearing you say is, that's a good one. And then ask questions afterwards. Ask those open-ended questions. So now we're going to look at your practical ways to put this into place. Okay, some practical things. Listen with the intent to understand, not with the intent to reply. Listen with the intent to understand and not with the intent to reply. And sometimes it's just flat out listening, okay? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, story was told, and then we're about 5 minutes and we'll be done. Franklin Delano Roosevelt told the story about how he was so weary of all these long reception lines that he would have as president of the United States. All these formal dinners. The reception lines would be long, and the words that he would tell people just, they never even listened to what he said. So one time, they had another state dinner, some function, where a long line of people came through, and FDR said, how are you doing today? This morning I just murdered my grandmother. And the response was always, oh, marvelous, Mr. President, good on you, you're doing great work, thank you, sir. It just went on and on and on. How are you doing this evening? This morning I murdered my grandmother. Oh, that's marvelous, Mr. President. Nobody was even listening until finally the ambassador from Bolivia, of all people, he came up to the president and goes, how are you doing today? I just murdered my grandmother this morning. He goes, well, I'm sure she had it coming. At least he was listening, right? Listen with intent. Don't just, you know, actually be present. Listen with intent to understand, not with the intent to reply. That's an important lesson to learn. Ask these open-ended questions. Don't ask, has this been going on for a long time? No. Don't ask it like that. Say, how long has this been going on? Begin your questions with the how, the what, the where, the who, and the why. This is an important tool in a reporter's toolbox when we're doing interviews with people. This is the open-ended question. So never interview a high school football player with yes or no answers, because that's all you'll get. But try to draw it out. Try to make them think. Try to get that person to share with you what's really on their heart, because you're interested in what that is. So ask those open-ended questions, those how, what, where, and why questions. Ask those in your conversations. Make a point to ask those kinds of questions. You'll elevate the conversation. Summarize back what you've heard. We talked about this already. And use the word so. So what I'm hearing you say is, and this automatically makes the other person feel heard, as if you were listening. This is huge, just to let that person know that, yes, you have been listening, and here is what I've been hearing. So what you've been telling me is that you've had this situation going on for 3 or 4 months now. How does that make you feel? Okay? So summarize is a really good one. Reflect. Sometimes you can use a word that they said, you know, it's been a real difficult month for us. Difficult. What do you mean by difficult? Tell me what that means. Pick up on a word. Reflect that back to them. They're giving you little signals in their conversations. And this is how you get beyond, how are you doing today? I'm fine, thanks. Hey, how's it going today? Good. Good. Define good. you know, it's okay. It almost sounded like you were hesitating a little bit, like maybe there's something that's not okay. Reflect back to them with these types of this approach and really elevate that conversation. Clarify is a good one. This is one that I've really had to learn, because a lot of times I'll listen to a conversation and somebody is saying something and I feel like I should understand what they're saying, and I don't want to let them know that I'm a dummy, and I don't. I just said it, just throw that in the garbage. Explain that to me. I don't get that. Okay? I know I probably should understand what you're saying, Jake, right now. I tell this to my assistant all the time. But I need you to explain it to me. I need you to clarify. And most of the time, people are more than happy to do that. And they're not going to think less of you. They're going to think more of you, because you've actually been listening to what they've been saying. And that's important for people. Give words of encouragement. And this is really, really good too. I understand. Or I see. I feel for you, man. You know? And if it leaves a quiet spot in the conversation, don't feel like you have to fill it with words. Sometimes the silence is the way of understanding. And then the last one tonight is posture. And this is very important. Look in somebody's eyes when you're talking to them. Focus on them. This kind of says my mind is closed to what you're saying. It's just not really important. If you can help it, try not to cross your arms. Sometimes when people are talking to you and they're saying words and their arms are crossed, you kind of know that they're trying to hide behind something, or there's something there that they're not ready to open up about. It's part of that body posturing. We're not talking about that necessarily tonight, but it's part of listening, is to picking up those visual cues that you can then elevate the conversation. Lean into the conversation. This shows interest. Instead of like, you know, you're kind of like going back, or, you know, you're covering your mouth, or you're covering your eyes, or you're doing something like, open that person, lean into the conversation. You know, I'm interested in what you're saying. Look them in the eye. That's an important. Show that you're tuned in to react and show you understood. You know, to close tonight, the prophets in the Old Testament are really good examples of great listeners, because they had to hear what God told them and tell it back to other people. They had to listen with intent and purpose, and not listen to respond, but listened. They had to listen to tell others. The prophet Samuel said to God, if you look back in the book of 1 Samuel 3:10, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That is a great thing to put on your wall or on your door first thing in the morning. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening today. I am listening. I am your servant and I'm listening." So in any relationship, the ability that we have to listen attentively is of fundamental importance. And I hope tonight maybe we have seen that in some little way. Here's a little bit of a to-done list. If you want to try these this week, again, savor a sound. Find a sound and savor it. Okay? I'd love to hear what sounds you guys hear in the next 2 weeks that you can savor. Find a quiet place and listen for as many sounds as you can. Do the little mixer thing if you want to in a loud place. And then in at least 3 conversations in the next couple of weeks, use these questions intentionally. Intentionally try to elevate the conversation by using great questions. Do this next couple of weeks. And in 2 weeks, we're going to get together and we're going to talk about our well-being. And that includes sleep, stress, and security, the 3 S's. And we're going to talk about what the Bible teaches us about those, how we can get better sleep, the reason we need our rest. We're going to talk about stress, how to deal with it, and then we're going to talk about what is real security. Is it the homes we live in, the car we drive, the financial report that we can give to our bank? What is security, and where does it come from? Thank you for listening tonight. And I've been the talker, so I'm gonna spend the rest of my night listening. And please feel free to ask me anything you'd like. And let's pray. Dear Lord God, we know we can come to you tonight as our Creator and as our Maker. And Lord, we just glorify your name, Father. Boy, we just want to raise you up for so many things that you have given us, the gifts that you have shown us, the mercy, the love, the grace, and the tenderness each day. And Lord, I just pray that you're such a good listener. You're the great example, and we know that you're listening right now, that we might just extend that same courtesy to our brothers and sisters and understand that if we can't listen to you and your word, then we're probably not going to be listening to our brothers and sisters. And God, we really need that help sometimes to understand that listening is how we can impart grace and mercy to those that are around us. So help us, Lord, to be less of ourselves and to more of you, to listen with godly ears so that we can respond with the words you would have us to respond with. Give us good rest tonight and the rest of our time here together this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.